from last week, and we're going to continue and finish our study in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. If you don't have a set of our notes, our ushers will be more than happy to give you a copy. We're looking at Abba's way. There's only one way to come to Abba, our Father, and that is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. Nobody else but Him. So, if you turn to page 5 of your notes, you'll recall we left off in the middle of looking at what I'd titled Wrong View of the Holy Spirit. This guy, Simon, the magician, really Simon the sorcerer, he had a wrong view of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is accomplishing. He also had a wrong view of appropriating the Holy Spirit's power. And we're going to complete that this morning. Simon is a very interesting individual. He is the man that goes throughout history in infamy, if you will, as the man that is dubbed with the term simony. Simony. If you recall, as we were looking at verses 18 and 19, we just previously listened to W.A. Griswold, a wonderful pastor and preacher of the last century. He was the senior pastor at First Baptist Dallas, where Robert Jeffers is right now. And it was exciting to be able to read some of his sermons years ago when I was in seminary. But he pointed out that there was this time when the Roman Catholic Church was allowing the selling of indulgences. And I explained what that was about last week. And with that, you could buy a bishopric. You could become a bishop for X number of dollars. You could become an archbishop if you paid a little more dollars. If you wanted to have your own place in a monastery, if you paid X number of bucks, you had your place to stay for the rest of your life. But we called this simony. I spoke to you about the fact that even when today, when preachers, guys like me, if we are up here and we are preaching to receive the accolades, the glory from you for us, that is a form of simony. That is a form of simony. That is sin. If you serve in a church and you're looking for the pats on the back and you're only really doing it so that people will see you doing something and you get a pat on the back, that's a form of simony. Seeking spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit did not give you at the time that you came to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then that's simony, trying to reach out for something the Holy Spirit didn't intend for you to have. A dear friend of mine was pastor of one of the largest churches here in the valley. He was president of their denomination not once but twice. But we had words together, friendly words, but very discouraged words on my part, that if someone gave their life to Jesus at the end of one of his messages and he gave an invitation, then afterwards he wanted them to go to a classroom to learn their ability to have a quote-unquote prayer language, to be able to speak in a tongue that no one understands. So that was really, really troubling. But nonetheless, he still loved me, and I love him. But it was really discouraging. Then last week, I left off at the point of asking you if you were aware of the Cityplex Towers. Cityplex Towers. And nobody knew what the Cityplex Towers were last week. And the Cityplex Towers were to be known as, and were for a short time, the City of Faith Medical Research Center. When I was in seminary and taking homiletics, I had to select 10 other preachers on television and in the area to go and sit and critique them. When we're in seminary and taking homiletics, all the students are given this form about so long with all these boxes to check off. Does he look right? Does he look good? Is he gesturing properly? Is he going too long? Got that one real well. All of these things to see how you're doing as a preacher. And our professor had his as well. That was the one that really counted. And so he gave those to us, and we're listening to these preachers at our leisure on television and critiquing, because we want to become good communicators of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's so great. And so in doing that, this is one of the preachers that I chose to critique. He's pastor of a mega church, and he had his own televangelistic ministry that reached millions of people. And it was supposed to be the City of Faith Medical Research Center. It was to be the largest and major charismatic Christian hospital in the world. The complex is now office space. According to a fundraising letter that I was able to get a hold of many years ago, May 25th, 1980, Roberts prayed for guidance in front of an unfinished hospital. Roberts claimed that a 900-foot Jesus encouraged him to continue the project. You heard me correctly. He was praying and he saw a 900-foot Jesus telling him to complete this project. Jesus said, according to Roberts, and I quote, "I told you I would speak to your partners," meaning all those people that watch him on television and his megachurch family, "and through them I will build it," end of quote. Roberts described the vision, quote, "When I opened my eyes, there he stood, some 900 feet tall, looking at me. His eyes, oh, his eyes. He stood a full 300 feet taller than the 600-foot tall City of Faith." However, his opponents were skeptical and suggested that Roberts imagined the vision. He raised the funds by appealing to his quote-unquote partners, by revealing what he called the inspiration of God. He was hearing extra-biblical terms from what he called God, instructing them how to finance the project. In a fundraising letter, Roberts instructed that if they pledged in multiples of $7, $77, and $777, because the number seven is the perfect number for God, then God would bless them abundantly. That it's thrilling. I understand, but it's not funny. The hospital accepted the first patient in November of 1981. By 1986, the City of Faith was losing over $10 million per year. In 1987, with costs spiraling out of control, the medical center went largely vacant. Roberts told a television audience and his church family, unless he raised $8 million more by March, God would quote unquote call him home, a euphemism for kill him. That does not sound like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The donation goal was reached, but Robert soon began looking for buyers or people to manage the facility. In 1989, only 8 years after it opened, the City of Faith was $25 million in debt. And Roberts closed the hospital. The last patient left on October 16th that year. Most of the complex was converted to office space and leased as the City Plex Towers. Just as we had Simons at at the birth of the church, we still have simony today going on. And there's a lot of them still on television. If you look at your notes, I wrote there, money can buy luxuries. It will buy luxuries, but it will not buy spiritual power. It can't be like what we saw back in verses 18 through 19, where we read there in Acts, "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given, he loved the external things that he saw the Holy Spirit doing, first by Philip and now by Peter and John. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands," very important, it was the apostles' hands, "he offered them money." I've always wondered, I wonder how much money he tried to buy this for. "He offered them money, saying, give me myself and I this power." Remember, they thought he was a great guy, the Samaritans. They thought he was tremendous. Some even thought he was God. "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Just, he didn't get it. He didn't understand. It just wasn't following correctly. And I'm going to kind of break things here because I see my girlfriend back there, Joyce. Did you know that Joyce Miller is cancer-free? Good to have you, Joyce. So as I started sharing with you, money will not buy luxuries, but it will not buy spiritual power. Money will buy advancement and preferential treatment. You can be sure of that. But it will not buy the recognition of our Abba Father. You can't give money to something and expect him to give you salvation. That's not how it works. Money will buy self-seeking flattery, flattering favors and accolades, but it will not buy S-O-U-L hyphen. It won't buy soul respect. Money will buy a prostitute, but it will not buy love. Money can buy pleasure and entertainment, but it cannot buy happiness. Money can buy a suit, but it cannot buy the physique to go into the suit to make it look good. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy health. And money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. What we see here, family, before us in our text is a con man from Samaria, Simon. And we have con men today, and they're in the church, and women as well. Con men and women looking for, just think of all those people around the country and around the world that sent millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars for a hospital that went defunct. And they believed the man who told them that he saw a 900-foot Jesus, and that Jesus demanded this. I believe, as you look at your notes, the Holy Spirit's and Luke's purpose here, and remember, Luke is the author of the book of Acts and the gospel that bears his name. I believe that the Holy Spirit and Luke's purpose in including this incident with Simon was to show the superiority of Christianity over the occult and demoniacs. We will see several times this kind of conflict taking place in the book of Acts, and Jesus will always be the victor. He'll never play the part of a victim. Simon should have realized that God does not belong to the magicians union. Looking back at your notes, Peter's response to Simon's request was firm, but he told him the truth. And likewise, when one of our perceived brothers and sisters, and I say perceived because remember earlier in our text, Simon believed. And I shared with you, I didn't believe it was a belief unto salvation. Even though to believe that someone is or existed and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is the same word, pistis. He believed and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I believe you're going to see, as I have, he was not saved. And we have people in the church, maybe even GHCC. They believe, but they're not saved. They were even baptized, maybe even by me, but they're not saved. And that's very frightening for me as a shepherd. And it should be for you as a brother or sister, to the folks who make up our church family. Because if you see someone who is conducting him or herself with behaviors of the world rather than the behaviors of Christ, then it's important that you invite them to get together and then you talk to them in love. You speak about what you're seeing to be a sinful lifestyle as opposed to a walking with the Lord Jesus lifestyle. Peter's response to Simon's request was firm, but he told him the truth. Verse 20. But Peter said to Simon, "May your silver perish with you." Remember, he's asking with money in hand, I guess it was silver, for this power that he saw the Holy Spirit manifesting through Peter's life. "And your silver perish with you, die with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." You could buy your salvation? Simon just had it all wrong. An older translation of this passage says, and I've written it there for you, "But Peter said to him, 'The silver of thee with thee may be into perdition.'" End of quote. But Peter's answer ended with grace as he explained that Simon had a cardiac problem. He had a heart problem. In verse 23, Peter goes on, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness." He is saying, with the Greek term there, he's saying, you are in the bitterness of bitterness. I mean, you are exceedingly in bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You are in this bond that is so highly wicked that it's offensive to God and to human beings. That's the intent of the word here. Looking at your text, full of bitterness suggests wretchedness. Love that old hymn, "Wretched man that I am." Full of bitterness suggests wretchedness. Bond here, the term means to be captive, to be bound together. To be bound together, and it suggests that Simon was a prisoner of sin. He loved himself. He was God to himself. He was self-promoting. He wanted everybody to think great things about him. Seeing that the man was in desperate need, Peter went all out for his soul. That's what happened with me. Finally, Ron Bolt, college pastor at the church that I was forced to attend when I got home from the war, literally forced. If I wanted to live at home, I had to go to church. My mom had become this thing called a Christian. And so Ron Bolt, I stand the guy up. You know, I'd come home on a leave, and he would call. And he said, how about if I come over, let's say tomorrow for lunch? I'll take you out to lunch. Sure, come on over. He'd be banging on the door early, before lunch. And my mom would say, what are you doing here, Pastor? Well, Ron and I had an appointment. My Ron and you? Yeah. He went surfing about 5 o'clock this morning. Did he know you were coming?
Oh, sure. I knew he was coming.
I did that to him so many times, but he never gave up on me. And that night that he finally preached that message the Holy Spirit had for me, I came to faith. You see, if Simon here, I believe he had a belief like I had a belief in Jesus. My dog tags read Methodist. I'd been baptized as a Methodist as a baby. Never went to a Methodist church, but I'd been baptized. So baptized, no catechized, but I'm a Christian now. No, not really. But I thought I was a Christian because I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Hindu, I'm not any of these other things. And Jesus, sure, he could be the Son of God, who knows? Had I died there, I would have woke up in hell. Poor Simon, poor Simon. In verse 21, we read here, because Peter wants to save his soul. Peter wants to see him understand the power of the Holy Spirit and understand why Jesus came into the world and what he was witnessing through the power of the Holy Spirit in Philip's life and now in his and John's. In verse 21, it tells us, you have neither part nor lot. The grammar here in the Greek is saying you have no part, no share, no in this matter, meaning salvation. You can't get any plainer than that. Simon, you're not saved. You may have been baptized, you may believe, but you're not saved. Your heart's all wrong. It's all wrong. You have no part or lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. He had a wrong view of sin. And many who attend church today have a wrong view of sin, probably because of guys like me. It's our fault. We want to soft soap the Word of God. We want our church, I want these seats all to be filled and go back to second worship celebrations because I want to see people coming to faith. I want to see people growing in their faith and people sacrificing their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of guys, they want to, you know, how many people at your church, Ron? Oh, on a good day, we might have 100 or 120, maybe. Oh, we have 1,000. Yeah. How many people have come to faith this year in your church? I don't know. Shouldn't that matter to you? How many people do you think have at least heard the gospel? That's what I love about these vases. It's before us all the time, family. You have brothers and you have sisters that are sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And no, we don't see all of these being read. But we don't save anybody, right? It's the Holy Spirit who saves people. We share the gospel. And we can't put over 61 white flowers in here because we don't have them. What a blessing. What a blessing to have run out. But what a blessing it would be to know that there are people, and maybe there will be out of those white ones that will one day, and we won't know about it, that take the red ones. Wrong view of sin Simon had. We see here in verse 22, Peter tells him, repent therefore of this wickedness of yours. You need to change your life. Your life needs, you need to confess your sin. Simon, you need to see yourself as God sees you. You're a sinner deserving damnation and hell. Like this guy was a sinner who's still a sinner, deserving of damnation and hell. Not anymore, because the Lord Jesus took my sins upon himself, and I've received him as my master. I've given myself to him. I'm his slave. Whatever he wants, go for it. Whatever you want, Lord Jesus. Anything. Repent, Simon, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray. Peter, you pray, he's saying, and pray, Lord, that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Simon still doesn't get it. He still doesn't understand. Unfortunately, Simon may have never repented. His reply was a feeble, lame, look at verse 24, and Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Only slightly moved by Peter's stern rebuke, he did not pray for forgiveness. He did not confess the Lord Jesus Christ as his master and savior. He did not respond to the grace of God through faith in Jesus. He did not repent, and he was as he was commanded to do so. And so now his name lives in infamy. For 2,000 years, he's been Simon the magician, which is soft-pedaling Simon the sorcerer, where usually in that day and age, and maybe today, I don't know, witchcraft, sorcery, black demonic powers were involved. Verse 25. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, speaking of Peter and John, they returned to Jerusalem. But look here. We're talking about Jewish men. Jewish men who were raised and had no problem hating Samaritans. No problem whatsoever. But they have now laid hands on many of the Samaritans. The Holy Spirit has come upon them. They are now Samaritan men, women, kids that are part of the church. The church that was birthed in Jerusalem, and every member of the first church birth in Jerusalem were Jewish. Every one of them. And now the Lord is bringing together people of different races who hated each other, and they're together in love. And that's what we've become a part of. We're going to see as the weeks go by, you know, we're going to see Roman soldiers coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in their households. Gentiles! Ooh! They've got cooties, the Jewish people will say. But look at us, family. You know what I call us, a little bit of heaven. We have people that are brown in color, black in color, white in color, sunburned in color. We have people who are socioeconomically, one degree or another. The Lord has done a marvelous work in our midst. We all have Jesus in common, and we love that wonderful Lord Jesus. So this is what Abba's Way was all about. Everyone is to hear the gospel and to come to understand Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to him except through Jesus. Get it? Good. Next week, we'll move on. Pray with me, would you? Abba, thank you for making the way to you so simple. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having left the sanctity, the beauty of your home in heaven and come to be with us here on earth. Not so we could go out and buy electronic gadgets on a particular day of a month in the wintertime, or to buy new clothes or toys for all kinds of people, but you came with the one gift that is more important than any other, the gift of salvation through you and through you alone. We messed it all up. We listened to Satan. We thought Buddhism would lead us to God. We thought Hinduism would lead us to God. Later, after you came, we're still at it. We think Mormonism or Islam will lead people to God. We now know that they're all counterfeit religions put forth by Lucifer, that unholy angel that you kicked out of heaven with so many others. So, Father Jesus, we thank you for God the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are three persons in one God. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has come to live within all those of us that have been born again. And that you've taken up residence within us, Holy Spirit. And there you dwell for all of eternity going forward. We belong to you, and we ask you to please continue to fill us day in and day out with yourself, your character qualities, that we may be seen by the world and brothers and other brothers and sisters too, manifesting the beautiful behavior of the one you call people attention to, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want so much to be conformed to his image day by day. We want our minds to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in your wonderful Word of God. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your sacrifice upon the cross. We acknowledge you're the only one that could save us. We thank you so very much for it. Words fail us. Actions fail us, Lord Jesus. It's such a great thing that you've done, and it cost you everything. You withheld nothing. You went to the cross for us. You received the punishment I deserve. You received the wrath that my church family and I deserve. You didn't deserve any of it. But thank you. Thank you for the exchange, for our receiving the grace of your Father, the faith, the trust in you and your work on the cross. We thank you so very much that in that you took our unrighteousness and you gave us a righteousness that wasn't ours. You're so very, very, I wish I had more words, Lord Jesus, outstandingly great and awesome to us. So, my Lord, maybe you've been speaking to some folks in my church family. Maybe you're talking to some people on the internet, or will be. But, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning and they think that maybe they entered into simony and they don't want that to be their testimony, but they want to be truly people who have given their lives to you in fullness by your grace through faith, and they want to start afresh and anew. They want to start right. They want to go with you as truly disciples of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts about a fresh confession and repentance that brings them to life, because your son's the only way. And maybe there's someone here today and you ventured in and you're just trying to figure out what Jesus is all about. If you feel like you've been really being spoken to in your heart, I can't explain your heart to you. You know, it's in your knower, as somebody coined it. You just know that God has been speaking to you, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and that you are a sinner, and that you need the only Savior. If you are such a person, then I want to encourage you to step out in that faith and give your life to Christ. So all of our heads are down. We're bowed in awe and respect of our Lord Jesus. But I want to invite anyone this morning whatsoever, if today is a crossroads and these closing comments have been speaking to you, you want to give your life truly in fullness to Christ, would you just do something for me? Just lift up your hand so that I might be able to see and recognize that this was important to you. All right, I see one hand so far. Is there anybody else? I'm not here to twist anybody's arm. Is there anybody else? I see one hand. All right, Tommy, would you come up here? And would you give Melissa that packet? Yeah, right here. Just Tommy's coming to you, Melissa. Okay. You can go ahead and sit down. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Okay? Just right where you are. It's so easy to talk to Jesus, okay? It's a simple thing. Let's bow our heads before him. So if these words make sense to you and they're right for you, then you say them to Jesus. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am truly sorry. And I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want so much for your Holy Spirit to come into my life and to be my guide. I'm looking forward to receiving the characteristics of Jesus. To be manifest in my own life in the days, weeks, and years ahead. Jesus, I want to thank you for having gone to the cross and there given your life for me, taking the punishment I deserve. I am so grateful to you. And I thank you for saving me in your wonderful, rich, glorifying name. Amen. Praise God.